welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 107, the Looking for Inspiration episode. This becomes a theme sort of later, well, toward the end of the first quilt diary, and then I kind of find inspiration, and you'll hear about that in the second quilt diary. If you're listening to this and there's music right at the beginning, that's an experiment I'm going to try. If you don't hear it, I'm sure you'll be relieved because you're like, oh man, don't do that. I'm not planning to put music in the show, but I would love to try to get a little bit of music at the beginning. I'm going to try. You know, I got this audio recorder for Christmas, and I do have plans for it. And I would also really like to learn Audacity, which I'm using now. We may actually get another program, like a real one that you have to buy, because I would like to learn how to mix sound better. And this sometimes, this here podcast may be an experimental place for that, but I'm not going to be playing music in between segments or anything, you know, not songs. Like, I don't know, those of you who are knitters may listen to Cast On, which is a great podcast. Even if you're not a knitter, you might like it because the woman who does it, Brenda Danes, is so good. But she does play songs that she gets kind of from pod-free websites, you know, podcast-free music. That doesn't sound right. Free music for podcasts. And you know, a lot of times I actually like the songs, but really I'm tuning in to hear her talk about knitting. So, you know, it's not something I will plan to do here, just in case you were worried. What to tell you, I realize I've not talked about books at all, even though I've been reading a lot. Some good books. Andrew Solomon's Far From the Tree, I got it for Christmas. It's fascinating. Very long, but you can kind of jump around. So you may have read about this. It's nonfiction. It started out when Solomon wrote an article in the New York Times magazine about deaf culture. And he got very interested. He spent a long time with deaf folks and got very interested in talking to parents, mostly hearing parents of deaf children. And that got him curious about other family situations where parents had children very different from themselves. So, for instance, dwarves and, you know, regular-sized people whose children were dwarves, or people who had children with autism or schizophrenia or Downs, people whose children were gay or transgendered. I can't remember who else he covers. But anyway, so he did. Oh, I'll tell you what was really interesting is he interviewed. Do you know when I do this? I'm thinking, did I talk about this last week? I'm sorry, I should listen to my podcast. Well, I'm talking about it again. He interviewed Eric Klebold's mother, you know, Eric Klebold, who was one of the killers in Columbine. Fascinating. And one of the things he says of all the families for this book that he's interviewed for all, you know, different kinds of reasons, the Klebolds or Klebolds, I can't remember how you say that. He's like, that would be the family he would move in with. The parents were absolutely fantastic. And had no idea what was going on with their kid, and in some ways it would have been hard to know. Anyway, very, very interesting book. Long, but you know, it's one of those books you wouldn't have to read the whole thing, and certainly not at once. Read Barbara Kingsolver's new book, Flight Behavior, and that was good. It's depressing, you know, because it's a lot about global warming. It's a novel set in Tennessee, in rural Tennessee, and the main character, a woman probably in her 30s, smart, not educated, got pregnant, didn't go to college, lives on her in-laws' land with her husband. They have a house, and so everyone is involved in the farm. Anyway, one day she goes for a walk. She's actually going to meet someone for a little, you know, meeting, which doesn't end up happening, but goes to sort of basically goes up into the hills and comes across a huge, huge, huge flock, I don't know the right word, of monarch butterflies, just covering everything, a blanket of like what looks to be hundreds and thousands of monarchs. So this kind of, that's what gets the ball rolling of the story. And you know, one of the reasons she learns that the monarchs are there is one, their habitat in Mexico has been destroyed, And two, global warming has kind of got them off their game. It's very good, really interesting stuff. It's funny because the main character initially I don't find very likable. In some ways, I don't think she ever becomes all the way likable, but she's interesting. And there's some stuff in there. She goes, she didn't, they don't really have money. And there's an amazing scene where she and her husband go to a dollar store to go Christmas shopping. And you feel like Barbara Kingsolver must have gone to a dollar, spent a lot of time. You can't believe that Barbara Kingsolver's ever been into a dollar store. But the description is perfect. And she also does some, and goes to a big thrift store. And again, you can just see it. She does such a great job in these scenes. And you just how you know she's a great writer, which she is, but it's very, in terms of global warming, it's pretty dire and depressing stuff, so you have to be prepared for that. I just got out of the library Dearie, which is the biography of Julia Childs. I love Julia. I have already read a biography of hers. It must have come out in the 90s. Yeah, because I feel like I read it when Jack was just a really little kid, like 2. And this new one, Dear, is very good. I've just started it, and I'm in that part of the biographies that I always hate, which is like the grandparents and great grandparents. But I think we finally have got to Julia's childhood. So, but I'm a big Julia Child fan. So that's a lot of fun. I feel like I'm reading something else as well, but I can't remember now what it is. So we'll just stop there. I need to read. The Paris Wife, that is what we're reading for our book club next, but we don't meet till the 24th. And I usually try to wait about until the week before to read the book because otherwise I kind of forget it. So that is what's on my reading list right this very second. I don't think I have anything else to tell. I think of all the stuff to tell you and then I forget it. And that's why sometimes I think, did I already say that? But sometimes it's just stuff I've thought about. Oh, I need to, say I read this. And then when I start talking, I go, haven't I already said this? Maybe I have. I don't know. Bear with me. I want to thank everyone who commented on last week's episode. But before I do, let me give you my contact information. You can go over to http://theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. That is where the pictures are. I do not have any quilty pictures. I meant to ask my mom. My mom sent me some great pictures of some stuff she's doing. She is very into paper piecing right now. Beautiful stuff she's doing. But I feel like I should ask her permission before I post her picture. So I will ask. And if she says yes, I'll post them next week. So the picture I put up actually is a picture of me with my braces, which are kind of bugging me. No, they don't hurt. It's not even discomfort, but I feel just so really goofy. I'm going through a goofy thing. I'm hoping I will get past this, and also some drooling. So there you have it. But so you can go over there and leave a comment. You can also go to http://offkilteredquilt.podbean.com. Either way, or you can email me at fdowell@nc.rr.com. A couple of really quick things. Sherry D, I did get your letter, and I will write you back one of these days. And Joni Marie, I did get your video, and I emailed you about it, so I will have to email again. Thank you so much for sending that. Okay, let me see who else so kindly stopped by to say hey. Okay, I can't remember if I got this comment from Jenny. Week before I posted last week or after, but anyway, she was just wondering where I was and she was concerned. And I am okay. I'm okay. I'm back. Yes, got a couple comments from Terry. Thank you so much, Colleen, Carolyn. Thank you, everyone. Everyone had very nice things to say about the Golden Quilt. And Kelly the Fifth said something that made me happy. She said maybe because I told you that there's some blue that seeps through from the back to the front, to the gold borders, and she said, she thought it might wash out with the next wash, so maybe it will. Maybe it will. Let's see, got heard from Noni. Hey, Noni, and she, I was talking last week about what to do with the magazines. I still don't know. And Noni pulls patterns out and puts them in binders. So I have pulled patterns out too. I just need to get to the point where I'm putting them into binders. Because that would be the next step, but that's always a good idea. And I did end up going through magazines this week, kind of get inspired. Noni says that she has tried to declutter for 50 years and has not made it yet. Yeah, Yeah, somehow I think that's how it's going to be for me too. Heard from AJ Dub and from Liz. Let's see. Heard from Sherry D. Hello, Sherry D. And she is worried. I talked about decluttering and maybe trying to sell stuff on eBay. And she said, you know, that's a lot of work. Don't make too much work for yourself. Here's the good news is I have found out that we have a new thrift shop. It's the Durham Rescue Mission thrift shop. It's very close and they take toys, which a lot of places don't. And I feel like I could give them some stuff that wasn't, you know, I mean, I don't want to give like puzzles that don't have all the pieces, but I bet I could give like some of Will's guys, like do a big box of guys and they would take it. I think it seems like a pretty open taking policy. So, she also suggests scanning patterns and things onto the computer, which is a great idea for anyone who's more organized than I am. But that is a good idea. I have a friend who's doing that with her recipes, and that's another thing I need to organize. I actually did a really good job this summer in getting stuff organized, but now I need to reorganize all my recipe binders. Heard from Oklahoma mom who got the stomach flu at Christmas. Oh my goodness. And then her mom got sick with a staph infection and was put in the hospital until after Christmas. Everyone has been so sick and now they're saying the flu has come early. And you know, I don't know if what we had was the flu. I don't really think it was. And usually I get my flu shot right about now. And so now I'm thinking it's too late. It's too late. And the man has, you know, he came home earlier this week and like several people in his office are sick. And he's like, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get sick. And he hasn't gotten sick, but now he's got me paranoid about getting sick. Heard from Quilt and Jenny, and who says that she's finally stopped all her magazine subscriptions when they were piling up without any projects being made. At this point, the only subscription my mom has subscribed, again, for McCall's Quilting, which is good, and that is a magazine that I have quilted out of. And so I think I will enjoy getting that, but I'm really putting a moratorium on the magazines. We should just figure out how to do a big magazine swap or something. I don't know. You hate it for the editors of the magazines. Yeah, we're not going to buy anymore. I'm doing that too. They're such eye candy. They're so much fun to look at. But you know, it's like $6 is a lot to pay just to look. Heard from Johnny Marie. And she said, re-decluttering, that she tried to do a 40 bags in 40 days thing this past spring. This is a game in which you try to take a bag of stuff out of your house every day for 40 days. Even though I only did about 5 days, it was a good thing. And I was thinking that might be a good Lent thing to do. I haven't done much decluttering this week. And really just what I want to do is just, you know, kind of try every day or so, just bring a box of stuff out of the attic and just sit there while I'm watching TV and go through it. But that's not happening yet. But I need to get, I had so much decluttering energy and organizing energy last week that this week I'm feeling like, wah. So maybe next week I'll get back on the pony. Heard from Jay. Hello, Jay. And she said that she was a little disappointed that I decided to use template plastic to make a stencil rather than using the Sorrel paper. I think you would get the same effect and it would be less hassle, because you wouldn't have to cut the plastic. Let me know if you try the Sorrel paper. And I, you know what, Jay, I don't know. That wasn't even on my radar. But yes, cutting the plastic was tough. And so next time I start talking about doing something like this, remind me. Heard from Gail, from Lori Kay. And she loves to get rid of stuff. And she needs to do it more often. And yeah. And she mentioned, have you done a free cycle? She says that she participates in her town's free cycle organization, freecycle.org online group. In some ways, free cycle is the easiest because I just put the item on my front steps and someone comes and takes it away. And maybe that's what I can do with the loose end stuff that I don't quite know what to do with, is try free cycle. I signed up and then I wasn't active in it and they booted me off, but maybe they'll let me sign up again. And then I heard from Kelly the Fifth, and who's been taken back by my braces to her own braces days, and when she said that it hurt. And you know what's interesting? I think the technology has changed since we were kids, because I talk to kids now and it's like for them it doesn't hurt at all, and it didn't particularly hurt for me, but a lot of people said you know, do have braces as children and adults, which does happen, that they don't recall much pain as children, but now as adults, they're much more sensitive. Yeah. Anyway, but I don't know. But Kelly was feeling pain as a child, and I'm sorry about that. I really am. And I won't talk about my braces, Kelly the Fifth. If it makes you feel bad, I know. You don't mind. You don't mind. All right. Thank you to everybody who commented for taking that time. Thanks to all of you. Simply Thought, good commenty thoughts. I understand. You can't always do it. I can't always do it. I listen to so many podcasts. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, Quilty Podcast and others as well, and having a really good time. It's a homemade radio. I love it. It's my thing. All right. Well, we're at 40 minutes, and we need to get on with the Quilt Diaries. Again, I'm going to try to put a little music at the front. If it works, I hope it does. I hope it won't be too terrible for you. All right. Here we go. On with Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. We'll see if I get more than one quilt diary done. I don't know if I will or not. Since tomorrow's Thursday, and I want to be a Thursday girl again. Right now, what I really want is to be inspired. By the way, the classical music radio station is on behind me. I thought it'd be nice to have a little music, and she's just yakking. Hopefully, she'll stop soon. Anyway, but if you hear another mellifluous voice on this podcast, it's the radio announcers. Hush now, honey, hush. Okay, yes, wanting to be inspired. So, you know, I'm working on the mosaic blocks, and they're fine, and it's good to practice your half-square triangles, and it's neat-looking, and I still haven't sat down and figured out how many blocks I need. I need to do that, because that will be helpful, to have a goal, to have an end line that I need to reach, because right now I'm just sort of going on making blocks ad infinitum, with no real thought as to how many I need. But I also need some inspiration quilt-wise. I would like to find, now I know I'm trying to be all, I always talk, you know, I talk a lot of talk. You have to understand, I talk a big game. Excuse me, I'm drooling from my braces about all the things I'm going to do. I do want to make an art quilt. I do want to get artsy-fartsy. But I also just want to do some sewing. And I want to do some sewing that's not mosaic block sewing. Well, of course, I have quilt goals for the year. So I think, you know what I pulled out today? My favorite quilt book ever, Layer Cake, Jelly Roll, and Charm Quilts. I really just need to quilt all the way through it. I have quilted a lot of these quilts. I've made a lot of these quilts. And so, you know, and so many of them I like and would be, I'll tell you what, I was a little disappointed, though, because I turned to one. I got this book. When did I get this book? I mean, 3 years ago? I've had it a long time now, and I've made a bunch of quilts, but there's this quilt. It's Damask. Yes, like damn it, right? I want to say Damask, but I think it's Damask Rose, and I thought, you know, maybe this is the year I'll finally make Damask Rose, and now I look at it, I'm like, that's really easy, you know? I mean, so yay for me for looking at that going, yeah, that's just a lot of half-square triangles. Really, I've had enough. But, you know, a lot of quilts are, of course, just half square triangles. And, of course, you know, I could make this. It's the right size. It is 50 by 62 inches. So that's a nice size, say, for the director of the lower school. You know, that's one of my project quilts. Although I don't think. Well, here's the thing. So the school colors, green and white. You could do, like, a floral that was predominantly green and white. I don't want to do a solid green and white quilt just because that's the school colors. I'm okay with being suggestive of the school colors of a lower school theme. So anyway, but it was a little disappointing because I had that. I was like, oh, I'll do the Damask quilt finally. And now, you know, it's not that exciting to me. Now, there's a very cute quilt my mom did for my nephew, Devin, called Jitterbug. And that's a very cute quilt. And that actually might be a really good quilt for Carolyn, the director of the lower school. It's a cute pattern. I could see it's very fresh. It's, you know, it's half-square triangles. It's not exactly what you would call modern. But I think because of all the white, it has a really fresh feeling. So maybe that. I need some forward motion. And I'm trying not to spend a lot of money right now, as I've talked about, but you know, I just kind of need to do something other than mosaic quilt stuff. So I also, my mom, so I think I told you, my mom got me a class on Craftsy. So I'm excited to finish something so I can practice, I can do the class. And I guess I should probably, maybe I should start doing the class now and get ready. I'm feeling, excuse me, very bracy today. I don't know why. I just ate some soup. Maybe that's why I feel excessively bracy and drooly right now. I don't know about these braces. I mean, they're fine. I'm doing it. I'm committed. I know I will be really happy. Every adult I've talked to who's had braces as an adult is like, oh, you'll be so glad you did it. I ran into one of my neighbors, Debbie. We sometimes walk our dogs together. We don't plan it, but sometimes meet each other out walking our dogs and then walk together. She's very nice. And she had braces. Well, actually, when she was my age, I think she may be in her early 60s. She doesn't really look it, but she said something about her husband being 65. I mean, she could have been a younger bride. I don't know. But she has two grown children. Anyway, and her teeth are beautiful. They're perfect. She had to get braces because she fell and not and the two front teeth, weren't knocked out, but they were knocked back really far and were really unstable. And so, and her dentist was like, well, and there's some other issues here too. Her teeth are beautiful. So it's kind of exciting to think in 18 months, I've had the braces for a month now, 18 months, I could have beautiful straight teeth. The orthodontist said, you know, I have an overbite. It's not horrible and my teeth aren't sticking out, but I do definitely have an overbite. And he said, you know, you're probably still going to have somewhat of an overbite, but that's okay because I think overbites are cute. Anyway, there are a lot of times during the day that I think, wow, this is going to take forever. I don't really like having braces very much. My water pick comes tomorrow. Praise God. Okay, anyway, I need to be inspired. Is there any way you get inspired? I mean, I think, you know, all those magazines I was talking about last week, I'm kind of glad I have them right now because I was thinking, oh, you know, one thing I can do is go back, especially through the older magazines, and look at patterns that once upon a time I might have thought, oh, I can't do this, because I think I can do most stuff now. I mean, does that sound, yeah, I mean, I don't want to do teeny tiny 1-inch square stuff. I don't, you know, we're not crazy here. But there's a lot that I think I could do. I could also, yes, try designing my own quilt. And maybe I will. Maybe I will. But I think I'm not against that. And you know, that's sort of something that I think about. But I also kind of am looking for a project like I could start this weekend and have a quilty weekend. So we will see. But I'm looking for inspiration. I need to be inspired. I did finish the man's knitting, the socks and the hat. He especially loves the hat. I don't think he doesn't love the socks, but the hat he put on right away and pretty much has not taken off except to go to work. I made the same hat for Will, my dad, and Jack. Jack has not put his on at all and may never. Don't know about my dad. Will wears his all the time, except he doesn't wear it to school. His is like Carolina blue and white. And the man's is like a hunter green and gray stripes. And it's a really good color and apparently keeps his ears quite warm. So I finished that knitting and I'm probably going to cast on some socks for me and also try to make some yarn out of plastic because that is one of my goals this year is to knit out of plastic and to actually knit plastic bags for produce at the grocery store instead of getting new bags all the time, knit my own sturdy little plastic bags that I can bring with me to the store. How about that? So I'm thinking tonight is a little bit of a TV night because we watch Modern Family on Wednesdays, and so I need some knitting to do. And Will would like a pair of blue and orange striped socks. Go figure. I had some other quilting news. Oh, I know, my mom and I have been talking about going to Paducah this year. The problem with Paducah is one, hotels, i.e., they don't have enough. But two, my mom doesn't really want to stay more than 2 nights. And to be honest, I don't either. I'm excited about, you know, I had a great time. I only really went for the day at the meetup at Hampton Roads in the spring. I don't think I can do like days and days of a quilt show. I'm just not built for that. But I would love to go and do some classes and look around, as would my mom. But at Paducah, I think she called a couple of hotels, or at least one, where the deal was you had to reserve for 3 nights. And that became problematic. Now, we could, I'm sure if we were really on our game or what have you, might be able to work something out with someone else who would want to take the room for one night or what have you, or some, you know, I don't know, but we're just not there. So what I think we're going to do instead is go to the Big Quilt Show in early April in Cincinnati. And this works out better for me anyway, because Jack's birthday is April 27th. And I think that there's overlap there with Paducah. We might do Paducah next year. I think they're building some new hotels or a new hotel there. So maybe something will work out and we'll figure that out. But Paducah is usually around the time of Jack's birthday. That's difficult. So I think we're going to try to go to Cincinnati, which is earlier in April, and should be fun. My Aunt Betsy lives outside of Cincinnati, so maybe we'll see her. Anyway, so that's some quilty news. Let me know if you're going to Cincinnati, and I do think I will try to do... I got a audio recorder and audio recorder for Christmas, a new one. I'm not using it for this. I'm just talking right into my MacBook for this. But I am going to try to do some audio while I'm there. And I think that would be fun. You know, maybe do some interviews, kind of StoryCorps quilter stuff. Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us suggested to me I might be able to, just in general, a good use for my audio recorder would be to do some of the Save Our Stories for the Quilters Alliance. You know, they have, they collect oral histories of quilters, so I may do that. I've got all kinds of ideas. I always do. I just want to have some quilty ideas right this very minute. And it would be nice to have a big project where I got up on Saturday morning and started working on it. That would be fun. Although Saturday morning, I actually think I might get up and go over to the Southern Folklife Collection at the University of North Carolina. They're having a big thing on fiddles, kind of the fiddle in the South. It's going to be lectures and music. It's free. It's from 10 till 2. And that will get me out of going to Will's basketball game, which would be good. Will is a good little basketball player. His team is so bad. We have talked about this. And it's just psychologically distressing for me. I don't, of all the sports that either of my children have ever played in, and Will, Jack doesn't really do sports, but he did when he was younger. And he played basketball for a season. I find it just the most difficult to watch. And I actually really like basketball, but it's just too intense for me. And Will's team is so bad. I mean, his team's not bad. It's a, there's clearly talent. Will's a good little basketball player. There's several kids who are good. I mean, most of them seem good. The only one who seems really horrible is, of course, the coach's son. And the coach is so bad. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what he's doing. So anyway, I think they're going to lose every game. And, you know, Will's a trooper, and he just laughs about it. And he tries really hard, and I don't know. It's just too much for me. I can't wait. I think this year he, instead of lacrosse, is going to do baseball, which I'm happy about because I like baseball a lot. And I find it almost lacrosse is neat, but it's so much going on the field, it's really hard for me to follow. Anyway, if I go to this fiddle thing, I feel like I have to ask the man's permission. You know, instead of going to Will's really sucky basketball game, can I go see some fiddles? You know. And you have to go alone. The other thing about going to Will's basketball games with the man is he's such a man. And so he gets, like, really not critical of Will. He's not, like, a yelling guy. He doesn't, but he'll say, oh, that coach, you know. So he sits there and mutters to me about how bad the coach is and what the coach is doing wrong, or what the coach, in our case, is really not doing at all. He doesn't really coach during the game. He just kind of stands there. You know, and I'm just like, you know, this is not making my experience any happier. It really is not. In fact, it's making it much, much worse. I always take my knitting and just kind of try to sit there and knit and just be present in the vaguest possible way. So anyway, I'm hoping to get permission to not attend Will's game on Saturday and go learn about the fiddle instead. You know, in the fall they did a thing about the banjo, and I'm kind of sorry I missed that, but I do have more, I'm more connected to fiddles, although I have not played mine in quite some time. I need to get going back on my guitar lessons, too. You know, I'm just having a hard time kind of, this is the boys' first full week back at school after Christmas, and I have not, I've been doing some volunteer work for the Folklore Society, Folklife Society. No, it's the Folklife Institute. That's where I volunteer. Anyway, I've done some, been working on a big project for them, but I really need to get back to my own work. But it's just, it's one of those weeks where there's been just little meetings. And this morning I went to a thing over at the upper school where Jack will start as a freshman next year. And it's really neat. It's a really neat school. So I went and took a tour of the school and, you know, and then, oh, here's the other thing. And then I've actually got to go, whoops, yeah, pretty soon to get Jack. Pick up Jack from school. This afternoon, after lunch, I went over to this woman, Sean's house. Sean, I met through my friend Bridget. My friend Bridget, who's quite fabulous, who had a birthday breakfast a few weeks ago, right before Christmas. It was her birthday, and she just invited a bunch of us to go out to breakfast with her in Raleigh. That's where she lives. And so I went, and I knew one of the other women who I liked very much. All the women were just quite fabulous. I think there were probably six or seven of us, and had a great time. And the woman sitting across from me was Sean, and she, Bridget, no longer works at the newspaper. She was, they did a lot of layoffs, and she got laid off. And in fact, at this point, she's doing a lot, she's writing a lot about actually being unemployed and being laid off and her job search and all that. A number of the women were also from the newspaper who now, like Bridget, are doing some freelance work for the newspaper, by which I mean the Raleigh News and Observer. And Sean still does some style stuff for them. And she's very stylish, African-American, beautiful clothes. And just, I mean, not simple and understated, but just great colors. And she's got great hair and beautiful skin and all this. And it's just like, you know, and when she said that she was a style writer, I'm like, well, obviously, because look at you. And I talked about my own lack of personal style. And all that. And she said, well, you know, I'm doing a thing where I'm just starting to learn the Color Me Beautiful system. And I'm doing 10 free color analysis giveaways. Do you want to do one? I said, sure. And today's the day I did it. Of course, you know, going into it, I was like, you know, I'm going to end up buying something. I mean, just, you kind of feel like, you know, there's nothing free in this world. And she, you know, so, you know, she was doing a bit of a sales job. I mean, that's what she does. And so I went, and by the way, Mom, guess what? I am a summer. My mother and I did Color Me Beautiful way back in the day, in the early 80s when we were in Texas. And it was unclear. No one could decide whether I was a winter or spring. Turns out I'm a summer. Now we have computers to figure this stuff out. And I have to tell you, when Sean took different color, you know, fabric, pieces of fabric and draped them across my shoulders, you know, in front of my face. And the summer fabrics looked great. And they're just more subdued colors of, you know, it's like instead of a fuchsia, it's more a subdued pink, which is nice. It was kind of a dustier pink. Sean said to imagine like, how things are so, so bright in the spring, and then the summer, the sun kind of fades them out a little bit. There is actually a yellow. For those of you who have been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that I don't really like yellow. This is a very pale yellow, which I do like, and it looked really good. This shocked me. Now, if you've never seen a picture of me, I have dark hair, and not naturally dark anymore, but pretty dark hair. It used to be naturally very dark. So dark brown hair and very light skin, very, very light skin, and then kind of blue-green eyes. And so I've always thought, you know, I've always kind of worn jewel tones or black. And Sean's like, no, black's too harsh. Or, you know, but anyway, it turns out that, and today I actually wore a periwinkle shirt that I got at the thrift store for $3. And it's quite fabulous. And she was like, oh, yes, that's a great color for you. So anyway, she did some makeup. And I was shocked by the makeup because it was not colors I would have picked. And it looked really good. And I don't actually wear a ton of makeup. And I don't usually wear foundation. I wear a tinted moisturizer. But the foundation she had, and this is all Color Me Beautiful stuff, was just, I mean, it looks invisible. And it was really nice. And then, so I bought some foundation, some blush and some lipstick. So much for me being Miss Frugal 2013. But I have to say, the stuff really did look good. Now, she did my eyes, and it looked fine. They were very dramatic. Like, as soon as I got in the car, I'm like, where's the Kleenex? I've got to get this stuff off my eyes. But it was fun, and, you know, I would love to get, you know, there's a color palette, you know, similar to the color palettes that we get as quilters. And I was like, oh, that's great. How much does it cost? Thinking, wow, I bet it costs like $50. It's like $145. I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I would love to have that to go shopping with, but I really can't afford that. She also does personal shopping. It's like $90 an hour, which, you know what? To be honest, at some point, if I ever get some money, I might do that. It might be good for me to go out with a personal shopper. Anyway, it was interesting to do. I really like her, and we had fun. We had a good time talking. It was a little weird going in because I thought, man, I just don't have a lot of money to spend. But I ended up just spending like $40 on makeup, and it will last me at least a year. So there you go. Anyway, that was my big adventure for today. No, I had two big adventures, going to the upper school and then going over to Sean's and getting my colors done. I am a summer. Who knew? All right, well, I'm going to end this now because I need to go get Jack, and I actually am going to try to do something quilty this afternoon. I keep trying. I just am not getting to my routine yet. I need a routine. I need to be in my routine, and it still feels a little strange. Things have not settled into their late winter, midwinter routine. We'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, more soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. It's Thursday, January 10th, 2013. Just a couple things to tell you, and then I'll wrap this up and do an introduction and hopefully get it posted tonight so I can still be a Thursday girl. My goal, my aim in life. First thing, and this is something that's totally unrelated to quilting, but for some reason I have not shared this with anyone, and it's kind of really cool. What happened was, so if you go to my website, my author website, and hit contact me, your email will go to the man via Sawgrass Media, which is our little company. And then he will decide whether to forward it to me or not. Because, you know, there's a lot of sort of spammy stuff or, you know, various things. And I'm not 100% comfortable with that, but it's probably for the best. Well, on Sunday night, he comes up to me. He's like, so, have you ever heard of a singer named Janice Ian? I'm like, well, of course I've heard of Janice Ian. At 17 is one of the classic songs of, you know, the 20th century. And I remember listening to it on the radio and getting very weepy. And of course, who hasn't heard of Janice Ian? Well, the man had never heard of Janice Ian. He said that was because he was, you know, too busy listening to Ozzy Osbourne at the time or whatever. But anyway, she emailed me. She had read Falling In, one of my novels, and loved it. And so she emailed me to let me know how much she really loved it. Apparently she was on, you know, traveling somewhere, has a Kindle, had read good reviews, and downloaded it and loved it. So emailed and said, you know, let me know. I don't know where you are, but if I ever do a concert in your area, I would love to give you and your family free tickets just to show my appreciation for your book. I was just like, oh my goodness. I just got an email from Janice Ian. How cool is that? So we've actually been emailing back and forth this week, and she's going to send me some of her music. She's not going to be in Durham anytime soon, although she does sometimes play the Art Center over in Carrboro, but not this year. But she is going to send me some of her music, and I'm going to send her some of my books. And it turns out she lives in Nashville. I'm going to go to Nashville next month. I don't know if we would try to get together or if I would even have time to see her. I'm going to Vanderbilt. My friend Kate is the director of the MFA program there, and every couple of years she invites several writers, myself, a wonderful friend of mine from my MFA program at UMass, Amy Hoffman, and a young adult writer named Martin, and I can't think of Martin's last name, but anyway, writers who have MFAs, Masters of Fine Arts in Creative Writing, but who do not make their living teaching. And this, she just is trying to expose these students the idea that, you know, you can be a working writer. You don't have to necessarily go straight into the university. A lot of writers do. It's a great way to make your living while you write. Now, for me, I just found that it was very hard to be both a teacher and a writer. I enjoy teaching very much, but it really just, you know, as an introvert, if I teach, that's all my energy right there. And I also, the other thing with teaching is it's one of those jobs you kind of do all day long. You know, it's not, you take it home with you, and there are always papers to grade and lessons to plan and all that. And I didn't enjoy that aspect of it. I like, you know, anyway. So that's one of the reasons that I decided not to teach. So I will be going to Vanderbilt to do that, and it's very fun. It's great to see everybody there, my old friends. Another one of my best friends from graduate school, Nancy, is on the creative writing staff at Vanderbilt too, so I will see her. Anyway, who knows? Maybe I will see Janice Ian. I don't know. It's just kind of cool. I mean, it's not like, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's kind of neat. I thought it's just a neat thing, and I keep meaning to tell people. I guess maybe I haven't seen enough people this week, although I feel like I have. I have not settled into my routine. I really have not. But once I finish recording this, I'm actually going to sit down and do some notes on a book and that I need to finish up, and I need to kind of ponder what direction the story is going to go into and what how the plot might resolve itself, etc. And I feel like Monday is going to be my real serious sit down at 9 o'clock and get to work. This week has been a little bit choppy, and it will continue to be until the weekend when I'm going over to UNC. Did I mention this? The Fiddlers, they're having a big Fiddlers thing, a Fiddlers symposium over at the Southern Folklife Collection, and that sounds fun, even though I'm not fiddling anymore. I can't remember if I told you that already. I'm sorry. The other thing, yesterday I was talking about inspiration. Needing to be inspired. Well, after I talked about that, I thought, what's something, talked about looking at these patterns and realizing, that I wasn't as inspired by them. What is something you've been really wanting to do? I thought, for a couple of years now, I've really wanted to do a red and white quilt. I love red and white quilts. And to that end, sometime last year, I printed out a pattern for an Irish chain quilt. And I thought, I've got red and white fabric, so I might need to go out and buy some more white. But really, I'm good with fabric, so this would not be a huge outlay of cash. It's certainly a simple pattern, so it won't be too challenging, I don't think. But that's okay because I really do want a red and white quilt. And so I thought that will kind of get me back on the quilting pony and I think I will be inspired, and I think I may hang it. I have a couple of thoughts of where I might hang it, to brighten the house, to brighten where I live. Anyway, so I'm excited to have some inspiration, and I affected some cutting last night, and we'll start sewing this afternoon. So yay, inspired, a way forward. I have a way forward. So that is my news, I think, for right now. And I will, as I said, record the introduction and then get this show on the road. I hope you have been having a good week. I hope you're getting back into your routine, and I hope you're making some time to do a little quilting, because you know what? It makes you happy. All right, I'll talk to you next week. The music you heard at the beginning of this podcast was Winter in Ohio by Justin Gordon. I got it over at Music Alley over on Mevio.com. Thank you so much, Justin. Beautiful work.